with me tonight. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 4, 1. The apostle said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Father, bless your holy word, Lord. You've inspired it. Now, Lord, anoint it. May it go out to the hearts of the people. May it go to those who have ears to hear. Let them hear. It will not return void. Satan cannot stop that word. It will accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Apostle Paul is about finished. His life's about over on this earth. I hear a lot of people today, you'd be amazed at how much in the last 5 years, the people that are coming out against Paul, they're trying to tear your New Testament up and say that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, taught us how to be good people. He taught us how to treat each other. He essentially gave us an example of how we ought to live. And that's the message they get. And they say that Paul created his own religion. And you hear this from a lot of people. As far back as 200 years ago, some of the great fathers of America, one of them said that Paul was one of the worst corruptors of Christianity that ever lived. The man who said that denies the virgin birth and the blood atonement and salvation by grace through faith. Yet he has the audacity to criticize the Apostle Paul. Folks, Paul was an apostle. He was hand-picked, chosen of the Lord on the road to Damascus. And God had a life laid out for him. He had a course for him to run. He told Ananias, he said, I'll show him how he must suffer great things for my name's sake. So the ministry of Paul definitely headed in the direction of suffering. He was not a rich man, and he didn't live a comfortable, easy life. He told them plainly in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11. He said this, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, why all this? Why does he even mention this? Well, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye therefore are wise. If you suffer a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach. In verse number 16, he said, let no man think of me as a fool, because he said, I will speak as a fool. And the reason he said that is because they were bragging. The church at Corinth was all about men. And it was all about bragging. It was all about following men. It wasn't about following Christ. So the Apostle Paul comes along and tells the church at Corinth all that he's been through in a kind of a generalized way. But here's what he says in 1 Timothy. He says, I am a pattern for them that should hereafter believe on Christ. So what does that mean? He's telling us that in this world we'll have tribulation. And sometimes life can get very hard, and it can throw you a curveball, and you have to be prepared mentally. You have to have a strong mind and a soft heart with God and a strong mind to this world. You have to gird up the loins of your mind. You have to make in your mind, you have to determine and decide, this world is not going to beat me to death, but soften your heart toward God so you can receive something from the Lord, and he talks to you. So the Apostle Paul comes down to his last days. He said in verse number 6, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. These are 3 big things. He fought the fight. We are soldiers. We are soldiers, folks. And a lot of people don't like that. They don't like the fight. They like to back away. But the truth of the matter is, You're going to be required to fight. Now, we live in a generation today, 2019 rather. This generation today that you're living in, you're talking about out here, folks, these are no longer pagans. No, no, they're barbarians. It's barbaric. And you know that. If you know anything, you've seen the way they live. I often think about what the Bible says about Lot. And Peter said that Lot, and you know, Lot sat in the gate. He was an elder. He was one of the ones who helped to make decisions. And Peter said that the filthy conversation of the wicked vexed his righteous soul. And of all people in the Bible to set up as an example of righteousness, Lot's not one that I'd choose. Yet he did belong to the Lord. And he had one of the greatest intercessors praying for him that ever lived. Abraham. I'd like to have Abraham praying for me, wouldn't you? You better believe it. Abraham. And it was his nephew. But the Bible says, Peter said this, he said, the filthy conversation. In other words, the way these people live out here. And folks, they live like dogs. I don't know, have you noticed it? Unless you got your head buried in the sand somewhere. It's getting bad out there. It's vile and filthy and corrupt. And so I'm glad, thank God, we can come into the house of the Lord and come together as God's people and find some fellowship and strength with each other, knowing that we have koinonia. What does that mean? That's fellowship of the saints. They come in agreement, and we come in agreement. We fellowship around the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us tonight relates to the cross in one way or another. Amen. If you don't relate to the cross, you've never been to the cross. We relate to that cross in one way or another. Because it was at the cross that God slew me and then He saved me. Amen. And for the grace of God, will preach it as long as I'm in this world. And then when God's done with me, I'll finish my course. And the Apostle Paul said, I am ready to be offered. Amen. And that's the way to live. The truth of the matter is, a wise man one time said a long time ago, he said, you'll never start living till you know what it is to die. And once you learn what it is to die, out of that, you'll find life. Amen. So Paul said, I die daily. The Apostle Paul said that. I die daily. Die to what? He preached the cross. He said, the world is crucified to me at the cross. It was the Apostle Paul who opened up the doctrine of what the cross meant. Christ died on it. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the ones who opened up all the theology of the cross. It was the Apostle Paul who did that. So you watch these hucksters who talk about Paul being one of the worst perverters of Christianity that ever lived. Hogwash. Lord have mercy. These people who deny the deity of Christ, they deny it, and yet they will have the gall to judge Paul. And you're living in a generation like that. These people today. And so the Bible says, I am now ready to be offered. We ought to live every day like it's our last one. I'm serious. Every day like it's our last one. Because you may not see another day. So what are you planning your life around? Are you planning your life around tomorrow? Or are you planning your life around Christ today? Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Today, have you talked to Him today? Have you sought His face about what His will is in your life? Are you living pleasing in this sight? Is Christ your strength? And when things begin to come unglued, is it Christ that you go to, the Lord Jesus Christ? I give you something. You ought to go home and Google this sometime. Well, Google might not be the best thing to do. Go get you a Bible program or concordance. And when you get it, look up the Lord Jesus Christ. Note those three words. Lord Jesus Christ. That's the full title and name of the Son of God. Do you know who used that more than anybody? By far more than anybody? Paul. Over and over and over again, the Apostle Paul says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ran a search on it in my Bible program the other day. It's something like 3 or 4 to 1 against everybody else. By far, he used the Lord Jesus Christ more than any of them. Why did he do that? Because he knew Him. That's why. He knew Him in the fullness of His full identity. He knew Him as Lord, He knew Him as Jesus, and He knew Him as Christ. He knew Him. He said, I know whom I have believed. Amen. Folks, salvation is not being good. Salvation is not treating each other good. Salvation is not taking some catechism up here and say, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that. You know, the apostolic creed, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that. Well, then we're Christians. No, you're not. Christ is salvation. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. Not a bunch of stuff you believe. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, how do I know I have the Son, preacher? Call upon His name from the heart, from the depths of your soul. And you know, it's fine. Have you noticed how that the brainwashing that goes on today in the barbaric society that we live in is so shallow? Everything is shallow and everything is instant fix. You notice that? Push a button and you expect immediate satisfaction. It's so shallow. Why? Because very few people know how to get in touch with their soul. Very few people know how to look deep, deep down inside of who we are. And folks, that's where you meet Christ. You don't meet Him on the surface and the peripheral and a bunch of stuff you believe. You meet Him in the heart. For with a heart man believeth into righteousness, and with a mouth confession made into salvation. I probably would have been better off at times if I was a quitter. But I'm not a quitter. You either are or you aren't. I'm not a quitter. And God knows that. I'm not a quitter. The apostle was not a quitter. He stuck with it to the end. You need to make your mind up tonight. Are you going to stick with Christ to the end, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to stay with Him as long as you're in this world? Listen, I've watched preachers march through here. I've listened to them shout and preach and carry on. And folks, that is nothing but Barnum and Bailey show. How are they living? How long are they going to stick with it? Who's watching them? That's your preaching, preacher. Your preaching is not screaming and yelling and pounding and sweating. Here, your preaching is the life you live. And that's everything. Because people say, don't preach to me unless I see how you live and whether you care for me or not. Paul did. He said, I have fought a good fight, and then I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And she's talking about this person, Buddha. Buddha was a person. Buddha came from the old Brahmin religion that dates back thousands of years. Gautama Buddha was a teacher. And so he, by being a teacher, essentially took Brahmism, which developed into Hinduism, and he had his own strain of it. And he became the great Buddha, the great teacher. And so men follow him because he has great wisdom. He knows things that nobody else knows, and he can enlighten you and show you and he can show you the world to come and all of that hogwash. There's only one Savior. There's only one that can show you the world to come. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the one who is the door. He didn't say, I'll open the door. He said, I am the door. I marvel at it so many times in the New Testament. He doesn't talk too much about what He does. He talks about who He is. And in plainer words, if you get Him, you get everything else. That's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. If you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the riches of God. You've got the wisdom of God. You've got God's salvation. You understand that? He's the shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything we need. And this is where Satan fights us, because he wants to diminish the effectiveness that Christ will have in your life. He wants to diminish it. And listen, he'll have you focus on your work. I'm doing a good work for God. Well, go on, keep doing it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It'll blow up in your face. It'll dry up and die. For he told you in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. So, it's Christ. And he's all there is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I get up? You know how many times I've quit pastoring in the last 43 years? You'd be amazed. I've told my wife one time we'd leave out of here, and I said, I'm done with this place. I'm finished. Ask her. So I'm finished. Doggone, I've had enough of this. And what happens? Well, I get off in a corner somewhere, and I get my Bible, and I start reading, and the Holy Ghost begins to move on my soul,
And then every once in a while I hear him say softly to me, "Now, what are you mad about? What, are you hurt? What?" One time he said to me, "I know why you're mad." "Why? Why am I mad, Lord?" "You're mad because you don't think you're getting the attention you ought to be getting." Ever said that to you? Some of these preachers would do well if he said that to them. "Neither he that soweth nor he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase." "Well, God couldn't get it done without me. You kidding? I'm his hands and I'm..." "No, you're kidding me. We're not in kindergarten in here. You mean God has no hands apart from you? Where did you hear that at? Where did you hear that? He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God no more needs you than he needs a dead dog. You need him." Amen. We need him tonight. We ought to be so full of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to love him. And that's one of the things that's true. I do love him. And that's one of the reasons that I keep going, because I love him. I love everything about him. He's a good God. He's been good to me. He's gracious and merciful. He reached down into pure darkness, folks, when he saved me. I know you've heard me say that 1,000 times, but you don't know how dark it was in my life. I do. And he reached into the darkness when he found me. Praise God tonight. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget where he found me. I listen to a lot of these preachers today, you know, and I never hear a testimony out of some of them. You know what? I've never heard a clear-cut testimony out of a bunch of preachers. What's the matter? You too proud? What's wrong with you? If you'll tell the truth, somebody sitting out there might get some help. But you don't think for a minute that you're the only one that's ever gone through something like that. We've got people in the church who've been abused as a child. Sexually abused. People in the church have been beat to death as a child. Children in the church that have been abandoned as a child. Children in the church that go through a horrible divorce. I knew a little girl that was so stressed out because of a divorce that she buried her teeth into the door, into the padding in the door. You don't think it hurts these kids? That's the kind of thing you see if you live long enough. That's why I am so against divorce. I am so against it. Go back here in this office, sit down, both sides have been fornicating, I'll still tell them, make it work. Make it work. Make it work. Stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a reason for it. Find out what the reason is. Find out why your marriage won't work. Find out what's eating your up. What's eating your marriage alive? What's destroying your family? Most marriages destroy because they got their eyes on each other, or their eyes on money, or their eyes on the world instead of eyes on the Lord. Think about it for a minute. Here are two born-again believers. They both love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can't stay together. There's something wrong there. Amen. Something bad wrong. I'll finish my course. By the grace of God, I'll keep the faith, and I'll be ready to be offered. And I'll just go on until I can go on, and I can't go anymore. And that's what I want God to do. I want Him to take me out of here when I'm done. When I finished my course, I'm going to tell you tonight, I have no desire to go somewhere and rock on the front porch, or go out here and stand in the creeks and the rivers and the lakes out here and fish all day long. I'd go screaming mad. There's nothing wrong with rocking. There's nothing wrong with fishing. But if that's your whole life, you got problems. Now, how many of you are ready to pick up that jawbone again? How many of you know what that jawbone is about? How many of you know who used a jawbone? Samson did a few things right. He's like Solomon. There's some good things about Solomon, some good things about Samson. There was a lot bad about Solomon and a lot bad about Samson. But he picked up that jawbone. And boy, did he ever wear the Philistines out with it, right? I remember about 35, 40 years ago, I was in a revival meeting, and one of the local men of God here, pastor. We were having some kind of meeting about something we wanted to do here in Knoxville. I forget what it was. It might have been Powell. people against liquor. How many of you remember that? Hayden Wright, been gone a long time now, essentially was the one that spearheaded it, you know, kind of started it. So what'd you say it was? People against liquor. Can you believe that there was a time in Knoxville, Tennessee, when the churches got together and they tried to fight the liquor crowd?
That's right.
So you're kidding, preacher. No, I'm serious as I can be. I'm deadly serious. We had a meeting up near the building. Local pastors came together and we met about demonstrating and about marching around and about doing this and doing that. And we talked about what we were going to do about liquor in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, liquor's nothing. They're shutting down your restaurants and they're putting brewer and liquor into the place now. I mean, they just added beer over here at the ballpark, amen? If I was that bunch over there on the hill, I'd learn how to play football before I'd be selling beer. I mean, sorry. I've had to say that. If you're a diehard UT fan, I'm not mad at you. But oh, they thought that's such a great thing, and they were talking to him after the ball game. Oh, it was so wonderful. We had home brewed liquor, beer out here. The first time they'd ever sold beer at the UT ball game. And they said very little about Brigham Young University or Georgia State. I've never heard of Georgia State. They come out of nowhere and they beat UT. And then Brigham Young, that's a Mormon college out there in Salt Lake? Somewhere out in there. They come in here and beat UT. If you're a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be one miserable person. But if you love Him, you're going to love Him. And you're going to love Him through thick and thin, the good, the bad, the times when you like it and the times you don't. So, if you want to run Paul down, go run him down to somebody else. Because I have the greatest respect and love for the Apostle Paul. He has taught me so much in his epistles. He has said so much in his epistles. And that we certainly needed. The New Testament is not an accident, folks. The New Testament is the mind of God. Amen. Amen. Sunday morning I'll be teaching Sunday school and I'm going to be getting into some things to show you how important that New Testament is and how it fits in the canon of Scripture and how it opens the door into the future. It's important we learn these things. We'll be talking about that Sunday. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time we've had to come together tonight. In Jesus' name, bless every soul in here. You've heard these special prayer requests. And Lord, I know you can heal, Father. I know you can. In Jesus' name.